Best Buy. Oh, God. I'm not going back to the Best Buy. Don't you worry. At least I hope not. I mean, what if I'm trapped in some kind of weird time loop and I have to go there every day after work? And then get lost in San Francisco. Is this Escalade stopping so far back? What are you hoping to accomplish, weirdo? Being a weirdo! Stop it. I'm getting over this way because you're... All right, well... Executive limo bus is what that bus says on the side of it. Level 19 and haven't even fought the Skeleton King. Yeah, it's, it's weird. I think about how much time I spent playing the PC version of Diablo 3 when it first came out. And, you know, finishing the story twice? Before they had an adventure mode, stuff like that. And that character is still only, like, level... like... 55 or something like that? Like, mid-50s or something? I think I was 51 the first time I finished the campaign. And then I've just been fooling around in adventure mode, joining random multiplayer games and doing bounties and stuff. And now I'm like 70, Paragon level 4 on the PS4. This Tesla. There's no exhaust pipe on the back of this Tesla. Wait. Is that? No, that's not it. Okay. I saw something small there down low, but... How am I going to roll coal on Priuses from my Tesla if it doesn't have fat stacks? I'm going to put fat stacks on a Tesla and hook it up to like a smoke machine so that I can still roll coal. Maybe I'll just line the trunk and turn it into like a barbecue pit, like with actual coal. And then let it burn in there, and then I can actually legitimately, like, for realies, roll coal. Yeah. All right, I've got a new goal. Guy's riding his motorcycle. He's got his cool motorcycle gang jacket on. It's all Vampires MC San Francisco. It's the Highway 1 logo, like the little highway sign, but with wings on it. And bleh, I think all of that's super dumb. Your jacket's too clean. I feel like if you're going to be in some kind of motorcycle club, it should be nefarious. It should be shifty. Okay. You guys should drive. You guys should go. That's what I think. Outlaw motorcycle gang. Oh. Just leaning off. Oh, they got a police tape. Alley. A hole in his hair. It's all slick, it's, you know, kind of down the back. Like, not a good... Sideburns. He must work... Did not see any buff. They're raiding a building. It was covered in nothing or something like that, and just written "05 to my city" on it, like the Drake song. What? Alright, gotta punch it and get in front of this bus. Make this turn. Successfully made the right turn. Now I'm stopped here. The light is red. The light is currently red. There's a car pulling up behind me. It's a Subaru of some sort. I could just roll coal on it. I mean, this, it's the coal cast. Just roll coal on everything. Yeah, we'll take some calls from you holy coalers out there. What do you mean? I ain't chillin'. Parachute race, my hands ain't diamonds. Fuck streets, trying out wildin'. Try riding. I'm in a car that be gliding. If I told you that, you would think I was hiding. Snake there.
From the corners of Chicago to New York City to Birmingham, Alabama to Georgia, L.A. We in New York City right now. It's live, boy. It's the raw hip hop. Yeah, my man, mother. Got it.
Uh-oh. Warning. Look out. Oh, jeez.
It's common sense. Yeah. Raw shit. I fought a nigga bitch named Trippin', better tell him get the fuck out my face. I got a tank in my jeans, and I got my nigga told me. And he said, you get the fuck out my face. Get the fuck out my face.
Get the fuck out my face.
No, DJ Drama is not the Drama King. That would be far too easy. Kay Slay is the Drama King. Big reggae fan. Oh, yeah, just get in this lane, sure. Yeah, fit between me and this big rig. Why not? They're hauling mattresses. Who cares? Oh, finally some hits. What about some 90s dance? Oh, God. Turn on the nav there for a sec. Anyway, yeah, when I get over the bridge and, you know, kind of get out of the city and get to some, a little more open road, and maybe I'll set it up, take some calls real quick. Buy some cashews, but in moderation. Don't just only eat cashews. Eat more nuts, you know, like spread out, you know, eat some peanuts, have some cashews, and get some almonds, you know, like fucking get a pistachio from here, you know, from time to time, right? Go get some macadamia nuts. Pay you way too much for like a weird tin of macadamia nut clusters or something. It's like, oh, they're from Hawaii. And they're very fancy Hawaiian macadamia nuts. Well, why, you know, okay. Doesn't mean I want to pay $18 for 20 of these things. They're tiny little chocolate-covered... Don't get me wrong, you know, there's nothing wrong with macadamia nuts. You can't eat them like you eat peanuts. They're all right. But you can't eat them like peanuts. If you gave me some peanuts right now, I would eat the peanuts. If you gave me some macadamia nuts, I might save them for later. I don't know. Like pistachios. They come in the shells, though, and you gotta, you know, like, deshelling nuts just gets in the way of your ability to, like, get nuts inside you as quickly as possible. Which is the point. I mean, it's why they come in the bags that you can just dump peanuts in your fucking mouth. Like, there's no tomorrow. You know, maybe you get some honey roasted peanuts. Maybe you don't. I mean, you know, like dry roast, you know, like I'm not going to tell you what kind of peanuts to get. Just don't get those fucking, the heat peanuts, the hot ones, just, those are kind of crap. They're not spicy, they're just kind of weird. I could really go for some peanuts. Not gonna lie. Take our first call. It's from somewhere weird. Hello, you're on the air. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Toronto, Canada.
Hey, I'm doing all right. You're chopping up a little bit, but it was, Ottawa, Canada, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Chris.
Excellent.
Chris. Yeah, I was calling two things. One is a guy who was near to this selling a Blackface 2000 table, and I feel like I need to buy this. He's asking around $3,500 US, and I don't know what to do. I was wondering what your thoughts were.
I don't know what to do either. You chopped up pretty hard there, and you're asking for advice about buying something, right? But I couldn't hear what it was you were trying to buy.
Sorry, the Blackface 2000 table.
Oh. Like a real table,
yeah.
or in pin, in pin,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so I'm gonna go out on a limb here and you know, like, look. Pinball machines are awesome, but you have to be willing to work on them, because you're going to have to, like, you're going to have to service the table. I got my Earthshaker for free. It came out of a tattoo parlor, and it was given for collateral. Anyway, I ended up with it, and it didn't work. I had someone come in, and I put about $300 into just labor and parts for this guy to just get it up and running. And then it just kind of almost fell apart immediately afterwards. You know, you got to wax the play field, but also the rubber on the bumpers and stuff will crack. And, you know, you have to replace those. And you know, there's just kind of the electrical components and the mechanical components and stuff that, like, it can be difficult. And I'm not handy like that, you know. So, like, when it comes to electrical equipment and stuff, like, trying to trace, like, why doesn't this light up anymore? Like, it's not just the light bulb. Like, that's just, it's kind of beyond me, or, I mean, I can figure it out, I'm just not willing to put the time in to do it. So, like, it's one of those things where, unless you are really know you're going to be willing to put the time in to make it work, I don't know that I could recommend owning a pinball machine. It's rough. I'm in the process, like, I'm thinking about trading mine away.
Yeah, it scares me. I played it for the first time in a long time, the fun part.
Yeah.
Compared with what sucks. And they couldn't turn away from it. So, coming back here, finding out that the guy said, okay, you know, it seems like it's not, it was like a message from God. But the other thing was that I just wanted to keep my little brother Trevor happy with his birthday today.
Cool.
All right. Hopefully don't get too bad, or maybe listening live right now. But he's the best. He's my hero. I love him. So anyway, that's all. I'll let the folks call in.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Happy birthday, Trevor. I think that's what that said. That was a rough phone call to hear. I don't know if that was my end or his end. Hard to know. The amount of technology, I mean, the amount of radio waves coming into and out of this car now. You know, radio from the satellites of space. My iPad streaming out, the phone call coming in. And he's maybe on Skype also. Like, who knows? All right. Hello! Who's this? Where are you calling from? You're calling from San Diego, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego.
Hell yeah, San Diego.
My name is Lisa. Yes. I want to know, I have two questions.
Okay.
What are you sipping on, Jeff?
Sipping on that straight Hennessy, you know, just stripping on the straight Hennessy, room temperature, no ice, like a punk, just sipping on that cold Hennessy.
That cold Hennessy?
Yeah.
You have the ice with it too?
No. I mean like cold, like it's like C-O-L apostrophes. It's cold outside, so it's a little, room temperature is a little cold out here. It's foggy.
Okay, all right. My second question is, so what happened with Dr. Tracksuit?
Dr. Tracksuit, as I understand it, he is working to get himself back into the country, and I'm not going to say how he is trying to get back in. Like, basically, at some point when they decided that he was no longer allowed to practice medicine, you know, they also decided that they wanted to put him in jail, and Dr. Tracksuit is a man, he loves freedom. He loves freedom more than America has to offer. So he had to get out there and practice his medicine in a foreign country. He's been training in his underground facility in Colombia for the past 6 months or so now, and I get postcards from him here and there that look like they're coming from Colombia, so I assume he's been there. And, you know, I'm hoping he will make it back into the country in time to reclaim his rightful position at the top of the wrestling organization and take the title away from Alex Navarro.
Okay. Because I thought that Dr. Tracksuit wasn't really talking to you, because it seems like Daniel Dwyer is putting in work in Big Show to say his name and stuff. So I just thought he wasn't talking to you. So.
No.
Okay.
My understanding is that Dr. Tracksuit will be there, but, you know, like, customs, or I don't know if he's, like, swimming in from a homemade submarine or something, you know. Like, I don't know how he'll get to Seattle, but I suspect he'll find a way.
Cool. So then, okay, I got another question. It's a real question.
Okay.
So I was wondering about, like, shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
So are you going to have any more shirts or anything like that? Because I
want to
represent John
Bonds Sports. Yeah, we are looking to do, I think we're going to have a new shirt up in time for PAX, like around the time of PAX. We're going to have a new design hitting then, and I want to say, if I remember correctly, it is a Giant Bomb East design.
Okay.
So yeah, we're really close to having new shirts in the store pretty soon here.
Okay, cool. That's all I had.
All right, cool.
Thank you for your time.
Bye. Nice city, San Diego. I haven't been there a long time. I got a friend who does morning radio there under the name AJ in the morning. So check that out, I guess. I haven't talked to him in a while. Next caller, you're on the air. Hello, where are you calling from? What is your name?
Hey man, this is Bob from Vancouver, man.
Vancouver, Bob.
I thought it was real. Yeah, it's Bob, Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, you know, thank you for asking about for talking about the Third Eye. It was really important to me as a member of the Third Eye community that this was, you know, brought up, and it was just really, it was really great, Jeff. And I just wanted to let you know that DEFCON is also great. So.
Yeah, no, it's important stuff. You know, it's you know, I think there's a amount of awareness that we, it's like spiritual technology that we have to get out to the people, and like people are hurting, man. Like, people are out there hurting, and we have to help them.
It's terrible, and they need to, you know, we gotta think about the end of carnage, right, in DEFCON, you know, like, what the hell?
Exactly. No, this is all, it's all tied together. They want you to think that these are separate, disparate events, but it is all linked. If you know where the lines are being drawn, you can tell that this is all connected together.
Yeah, man. Just like Counter-Spy, you know, makes you think.
Exactly. What you vaping on, man? What you vaping on? What you vaping
on? I got this stuff called Atom Bomb, it's made by Atom Bomb, and it's called Nectar. I don't know. It tastes like a peach, sort of. I don't really like it, but they had some other stuff called Mama's Cookies, and Mama's Cookies is like, you know, like a gingerbread cookie. I think they call it, it's actually... say it's a cinnamon cookie, but man, it's a gingerbread cookie. You don't know about gingerbread cookie.
Yeah, so you're putting gingerbread cookie flavor inside of your lungs.
Yeah, so yeah, they use like probably a creamy flavor, that, you know, the shit that gives you popcorn lungs, so that's probably fucking terrible for you. But, you know, tastes delicious. Then they probably just put cinnamon in it.
So, well, yeah. I mean, that's all that matters. If it tastes delicious, it can't possibly be bad for you. That's, and no, you know, man. Like, well, vaping is a science. It's obviously well tested and not at all murdering everyone who uses it. So, what do we have to be afraid of as society?
Just beat your heroin, man. Just beat your heroin. That's,
yeah,
all you gotta
totally.
Really worry about.
No, I know. It's my friend got into vaping because he got out of regular cigarettes, and I let him vape in the house. And then sometimes I walk into the living room and it's just like, why does it smell like cotton candy, but like gone bad in here? And I remember, like, oh right, there's all this decadent vaping happening out here.
Don't diss the decadent. You gotta try the decadent. I'm sure you're talking decadent.
That's true. I don't really know anything about the true decadence of this lifestyle. You know, I've only witnessed it, and I mean, it seems decadent. He seems to enjoy it. So, who am I?
Those mad clouds, you know. You gotta chase those clouds.
Yeah, no, I know. That's, it's all, again, it's all tied together.
Tied together. So, to end it, I want to ask you a question. Like, is there really anything that great coming out on consoles, the current generation of consoles, that is exclusive to the consoles? Like, everything seems to be coming to, I mean, I guess this is an entire question, but I'm just asking, personally, what do you, is there anything you're interested in or excited about or think that will probably come out that'll be good? And I'll take my
fans
off the
Okay. All right, see you later. Yeah. Yeah, you know, what am I looking forward to? Let me actually just set that real quick. Stuff that's just coming to consoles, I think it depends on what you're looking for. Like, I think Destiny has potential, and hopefully Destiny will be good. I'm looking forward to it, so, it's got potential. Hopefully there's a significant amount of content there, to see. Forza Horizon 2 is something I'm certainly looking forward to. Mortal Kombat X, I think Evolve has like something going for it. I think Evolve looks fantastic. You know, I think it'll be a game that is not necessarily like good for everyone. You know, you're gonna have to get a team together and play that way, I think, for that to work and all that. But Evolve's obviously coming to the PC though too. But yeah, you know, like, someone's in there complaining about the game seeming so last gen. Like, games are games now, you know? Like, there's kind of nothing left. Like, last generation, they introduced kind of the ubiquitous online presence stuff and nailed that down over the course of the last 7 years. Like, there's nothing, you know, the games look better. Like, that's... You know, the new consoles are basically like a better graphics card, right? And more convenience and features and stuff like that. But in terms of the games themselves, you know, it's like Microsoft kind of smoked themselves into a corner with all this, like, power of the cloud shit. And yeah, I don't know. I guess I get why some people would be sort of disappointed by that, because there has been larger leaps in past generations, but I guess at some point, like, the law of diminishing returns catches up to you, right? You know, they tried 3D last year and no one fucking cared. You know, it's still technically in there, and some games will use it here and there because fuck it, why not, I guess? I don't know. I don't know why anyone would want to do that, but, you know, the VR stuff, I think that ends up being the differentiator, right? If that stuff ends up being good. And hopefully it will, I don't know. That'd be nice, but I don't think that's for everyone either. You know, there are always going to be people that just, for whatever reason, can't use a VR headset. You know, they might have things going on in their lives. They can't just disappear into a sensory deprivation chamber for hours at a time, right? So, you know, there's that. But I think there'll be some really cool stuff that uses Morpheus and the Oculus Rift and that sort of stuff. You know, some things will happen there, but... you know, like, this generation is just developers getting better at doing what they do. It's about, you know, games that fool you into thinking they're massively multiplayer using kind of server, like, behind-the-scenes trickery, instead of just paying for tons of MMO-sized server infrastructure. You know, stuff like Journey and Destiny and Test Drive Unlimited, like, that style of bringing people together without having to have that huge back-end cost. I mean, that's a big deal. In a sense, it's not sexy. You're not like, ooh, all right. You know, it's a cool little thing, but I get why some people look at it and go like, ah, whatever, who cares? Like, I'm kind of that way. It's like, ah, whatever, who cares? Yeah, so, you know, like, they'll get better at making games for those machines, and they'll, you know, the games will continue to look better. And, you know, then, you know, we'll get a proper generational update on PC graphics hardware, and it'll jump out ahead, and that'll probably look pretty fucking cool. But in terms of, like, where the next big innovation in games is coming from, like, I think it is some of that stuff that is designed to make some of that stuff more manageable. Stuff like procedural generation to make bigger worlds attainable by smaller teams. And kind of just finding different ways to deal with the business realities of games. You know, like, just finding ways to develop stuff that, you know, because at some point, like, if you're going all out on the highest end graphics possible, like, the art generation there gets really expensive. And, like, at some point, a game like that might not make its money back, because at some point it's so expensive to produce. that you run into trouble, you know? So it's there's a lot of different ways things can go. I think that it's clear that there's an appetite for consoles. You know, they're selling well enough that you look at it and go like, well, you know, there's a crowd of people that want this stuff still. Absolutely. It didn't just go all into phones the way everyone thought it would. Which is good. But yeah, you know, it's a tumultuous period, and I think the games reflect that in a sense, where you have the big companies scared to place really risky bets and in, you know, huge expensive games that are doing unseen, unheard of, untested things. Instead, you've got, you know, Destiny. It's a first-person shooter. You know, like it's there are some neat tricks here and there that it's doing to make it a larger feeling game, but you know, it is what it is. And at some point you will get, you know, proper Rockstar games on those platforms, and maybe that'll set stuff apart. You know, those guys do console games first and foremost, and people seem to like them. I don't know, you know, like, but at some point it's like, yeah, they look better, you know? Like, it's still a computer. Like, it's not a magic box. But I think, you know, like, the tools are in place for people to make innovative games, you know? Like, the consoles and, the, you know, the PC and... Like, all these platforms are now powerful enough for people to make, like, wonderful, weird things just on different scales. And it's up to, you have, like, a lot of that push coming from smaller games. Smaller teams, lower price points, you know, kind of just being able to test out cool ideas. Whereas the big game market, the expensive game market, has just become like Hollywood, you know? It's so risk-averse, just the way summer blockbusters are. It's just like, oh, well, demographically, it appeals to this, it needs to be this, because we're spending X amount of dollars on it, and in order to hit this much money coming in, it has to be this type of game. And until that changes, like, you know, you're going to see shooters and driving games and more shooters, and more shooters. At that upper end. It's why Microsoft took Black Tusk, who was working on, you know, by some reports, some kind of interesting-looking spy game or something, and said, now you're making Gears of War. Which is depressing, but probably best for business. In the short term, anyway. You know, it's one of those things where you have to wonder where the next hit is coming from. You know, you look at Activision, like, they are super hit-driven, and they drive their hits into the ground. And, you know, they're trying with Call of Duty this year more than they do in most years. You know, they're trying to break it out and try to do something cool and separate, but... I don't think it'll recover. I think that there's a fan base that will stick with it forever at this point, but in terms of it being like, you know, everyone talking about it, the best game, whether you're into these types of games or not, like, that, you know, those days are past. It's a very popular genre, but it's still a genre, you know, still a genre hit, you know? But they see that, you know, and so they place their next huge bet on Destiny, which is another first-person shooter, but with a different focus, you know. And if Destiny becomes the next Halo, if it is the next huge sci-fi universe and inspires people that love the fiction, and they can spin off, like, you know, like, stuff out of it. And make sequels for that thing for a decade, you know, then good for them. They have created a thing, another huge tentpole pillory type thing for Activision. Good on them. You know, that's not easy. And it's risky to make a new one, you know? So... yeah, I don't know. It's, it's hard to get excited about those bigger games sometimes because, again, they are so safe. Like, it's not to say they're bad, but, you know, like, I've been playing those games for a very long time, and I still do like them, but, you know, like, I'm interested in seeing kind of new stuff, and right now that new stuff is primarily coming out of smaller teams and smaller games. Of course, I've just spent a lot of hours leveling a Diablo 3 character up to maximum level. So I, you know, the old shit still works in the grand scheme of things, but yeah, I think that's why, you know, like if I seem like I'm not super stoked on upcoming games, it's because, like, the games that I want to play most probably haven't been announced yet. You know, they haven't been thought of yet, in a sense, you know, and I'm hoping that we see some free thinking on some larger projects to break us out of a rut at this like $60 level and come up with some new cool shit that is, like, truly different. But if it doesn't happen there, if it happens at a lower price point in a smaller type game, like, that's fine too. Like, I still really want to play Quadrilateral Cowboy. I thought that looked really awesome, and I haven't seen much of that. So I'm hoping that that's amazing. And it really could be, you know? But those are way riskier also. So it's like, you know, you can... I'm interested in it, but, you know, tentatively so, because, like, who knows with some of that shit, you know? These small team games can hit or miss, and they might not have the support to make something completely polished and awesome. It might be rough around the, you know, it probably will be rough around the edges, you know? That's a lot of smaller team games are. So... yeah, you know, I think it's just the nature of video games has changed, and it's not about, like, oh, this big announcement, and now we're going to be endlessly excited about this game that we know next to nothing about for the next year and a half because this major video game company is going to be putting out trailers for it nonstop. Like, that's not the way anymore. I barely even watch trailers anymore, unless it's happening, like, around a trade show and there's, like, a grip of them. Like, I, you know... like, the pre-release cycle for games, especially, like, games at the $60 price point, the retail games, like, that preview cycle, I do not give a fuck about 90% of it. Because they can announce the game, and you can know pretty well, like, oh, okay, that's going to be that kind of game. You know, I don't need to watch the 8,000 Assassin's Creed trailers to come out, that, you know, that are going to come out. Or have been coming out and will continue to come out until November. I don't need to watch any of those to tell you that that game will probably be polished up and will probably look kind of cool and will probably play a lot like Assassin's Creed in a different setting, and the multiplayer will probably shake things up a little bit, but maybe not as much as you might have thought. That's not to say that I'm not, like, interested in that game. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fucking cool. Or hopefully it will be, you know? Like, hopefully it will be. You know, Assassin's Creed got kind of checkered there a little bit. But, they, you know, last one was good, and hopefully this one will be too. But, you know, like, I'm not one of these guys that's going to be... like, I've never been the guy that's like, yo, man, new Assassin's Creed coming, yeah! You know, like, for just about any franchise, even the ones that I'm, like, super interested in just from, like, a legacy, you know, just, like, that I've loved the legacy of it. Like, even Mortal Kombat, like, you know, I'm interested in the story and stuff of Mortal Kombat, and those are probably trailers that I'll watch, but, like, you already know what that game is. Like, it's not, you know, they'll have some kind of persistent online mode that makes the matches matter a little bit more, but that's not going to matter to most of the people playing it, and that's fine. What about Half-Life? I don't really care. I didn't really like Half-Life 2 that much, or Half-Life 1, if I really think about it. Like, some cool stuff in there, and I think Valve is, you know, really important, and they've done some really interesting work, and there were some amazing levels and some cool shit in Half-Life 2, but I also thought the pacing in it was terrible. Like, the game is too long. Those long-ass vehicle sequences that, like, who cares about that stuff, you know? I think like there are interesting characters in the Half-Life universe, but in terms of the story, like, I, you know, whatever. Ugh. And the only cool character in Half-Life is the G-Man. Potentially Gordon Freeman. But only because of his relationship with the G-Man and such. Like, Alex or whatever, like, just always seemed terrible. I liked the big robot dog thing more than her. But yeah, you know, like, Half-Life 3 is really interesting because it is such a weird legacy at this point, that when they do finally get around to it and finally tell their story, you'd be like, huh, all right. But yeah, you know, like, at some point you're saying, hey, aren't you excited about this, like, story-driven first-person shooter campaign? Like, not, no. No, not really. Like, are they going to come up with something on par with the gravity gun that's like a cool change to what you're doing when you're playing it, or what? You know, they're well past the point of, like, you know, I always thought it would be kind of cool, like, you know, with the stuff they do kind of tying the worlds together, that, like, oh, you know, obviously, Half-Life 3, you'll get the portal gun and do weird shit with it. That was kind of always my thought coming out of, you know, what they did to tie those things together, but at some point, that's not a game worth getting excited about, because who knows if it will ever exist or if it will ever be released or anything like that. Like, you can spend your time speculating about it. But nah. But I, you know, I like games in a general sense, you know? I really like games. But in terms of, like, you know, like, falling for the press release cycle and the hype cycle and all this stuff, like, no. It's all so controlled. It's all the, you know, you're kind of just seeing the same announcements, the same style of announcements again and again. Like, that's the, you know, a press release doesn't get me excited anymore. An announced trailer, that's not that interesting to me on its own. People are like, yeah, I don't know. Halo 5 will probably be pretty good. And I'll play it when it comes out. I don't need to
spend time thinking about it until it's out.
It's a known quantity, right? All right, now I really am going to roll this garbage can in. In fact, here we go. All this mail's garbage. See you guys tomorrow.